the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul
so good to see Brother Beasley come in. Now let's go to the Word of God. The book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1. I have a special message this morning. The Lord really poured it in my heart. And I trust that He will help me preach it to you as I feel it in my heart. I want to preach on Christmas, the face of our Heavenly Father. Christmas, the face of our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 1:1, first verse of Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now notice the Father is the center here. The Father is the center here, but the Father is emphasizing his appointment of the Son. I love this. The Father is center, but he is announcing to the Holy Spirit the appointment of his Son. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being, this is Christ, who being the brightness of his glory, the Father's glory. This is Christ, the brightness of the Father's glory. And the express image of the Father's person. And upholding all things by the word of his power. When he, this is Christ, had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him, that's his, the son, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now the angels, he saith, this is still the Father talking now, and to the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of the kingdom is the scepter of the kingdom. A scepter of the righteous, I'm sorry, or righteousness. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Now, I do not know of another passage of scriptures in the Bible where the Father speaks so eloquently of his Son. This has got to be the classic scripture in God's word of the Father announcing the Son to us, to the world, in the gospel, to all who read the Holy Scripture. And so I am somewhat overwhelmed this morning by the sense that Christmas is actually the face of the Father, the expression of the Father, the manifestation of the Father's action. The Father's plan, the Father's business, what the Father is doing. And it's so beautiful. I am not a Jesus only. I am a Trinitarian. I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They're distinct persons. They're distinct persons. They are distinct persons. They each have a mind of their own. But that mind is absolutely united in three to be perfect. In every manifestation and every expression. And so this morning, I want to preach on a subject like I've never preached on as I remember Christmas, the face of our Heavenly Father. Dear Father, help me preach. Anoint me to preach. Give me the right words. Give me the right understanding. Open my mind. Open the minds of my people. And move in everywhere, in every place, in every circumstance that this message may somehow reach. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And you may be seated. Christmas. Christmas. The face of God our Father. The face of God our Father. Now, I want you to understand some things that are so important to me this morning, and I believe important to all of us. And that is that the whole idea of Jesus Christ is the Father's grand plan. The Father's grand plan. The Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's easy as you preach about Jesus not to put the Father in the right place in relation to the coming of his Son. And this morning I seek to do that. Because from Genesis to Revelation, the Father has manifest through the writings of the Holy Spirit this idea of Christ and his coming. It was in his plan. In fact, you find in the book of Revelation that he was crucified before the foundation of the world. Crucified in the Father's mind, in the Father's heart, in the Father's great scheme before the foundation of the world. So the Father's grand plan is finalized and finished and presented and given to us in the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Brother Ken mentioned this morning a call that he received from a friend, I guess it was yesterday, that asked him or said to him, first, I heard a preacher preaching today that Jesus is in the Old Testament and that you can find him written in the Old Testament. I think it was a surprise to Brother Ken because we all know it's not a matter of question, it's a matter of fact. That Jesus lives in this Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. That the heart of this Bible, the substance of this Bible, the totality of this Bible is the presentation of God's Son to save a troubled, sin-sick world. Hallelujah. That's why the Father gave us his Son. But the question the man asked, can you tell me of a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about Jesus? And of course, he took him to a beautiful story in the book of Daniel, where the three Hebrew children were thrown or cast into the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, looked in and didn't just see three, but he saw a fourth who had the form of, the Bible says, Son of God. Son of God. And so he said, that's as good of a place as I know to start. To show you that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was very, very present in that Old Testament. Hallelujah. So this was all the Father's grand plan, the Father's great scheme, the Father's divine program, if you want to call it such, that he would save the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. The blessed Lord. Oh, what a blessed thing to study about. And what a blessed thing. All during Christmas, why don't you dig through the Bible and look for every place it talks about Jesus. Now, I was in Cordoba, in South Africa. Well, not in South Africa, but one of the African countries. I forget the name we give it, but Cordoba is their name, a French name. I was there preaching. And I was in a large assembly of God on a Sunday morning. And as I was preaching, I took them to Isaiah and showed them that it was not the Romans who crucified the Son of God. It was not the Jews who crucified the Son of God. Sure, they had a part. Sure, they played a part. No question about that. We don't doubt that. We don't doubt what they did as tools of the Father, as instruments of the Father's design. But we know who made the plan. Who absolutely was the source of the plan. And I love to read it. I never get tired of reading it. Yet it pleased the Lord. This is Isaiah 53 and 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son of God. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, how can that be possible? Only with God can such a thing be possible. Only with God can such a truth be understood. Only with God can we have such reality. It pleased the Father to bruise him. He, the Father, hath put him to grief. That's Jesus. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. It was God the Father. This whole plan was to make the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, an offering for sin. The Father planned it in this fashion. The Father planned it in this order. It is the Father's grand doing. You know, you can't read such scripture as this and not know the whole plan of the coming of Christ was the Father's face, the Father's plan, the Father's design. Hallelujah. And I like to honor my Father by showing everybody what part my Father played, the great God Jehovah. Who had one son for all eternity. They were united in absolute fellowship, unbroken fellowship. In fact, it is my opinion that when Satan was cast out of heaven, one of the very reasons behind the activity of the devil is he was jealous over the Father and his Son. He was jealous over how much the Father loved the Son. He was jealous because the Father had this divine design for his Son to become the Redeemer of the world. And the old devil was jealous and was cast out. And I believe from the moment he was cast out of heaven, he had a design that he would have a son. and that his son would be an antithesis of the Father's son, and that his son would imitate the Father's son, and that his son would someday rule the world. And we see it all in the design of the Antichrist. Everything that the devil has planned through the ages fulfilled in the Antichrist in that given day. So it was the Father who crucified his son. I'm sure Lucifer didn't understand that part. I'm sure he had no desire to be part of such a suffering and such a painful experience and such a degradation of himself. But it was the Father's plan. It was the Father's. The Father shall see the Son's travail. Oh, the wreathing of pain upon the cross. The travail of his soul as the burdens of the sin of the world fell upon him. All the pain that he must have felt. And the Father saw that travail. The Father saw that passion, the burden of that hour. And the Father was satisfied because he knew what was happening. The Son was dying to save a world. The Son was dying to renew a universe. The Son was dying to redeem a world and to bring it back to its original beauty that God created when he laid it out in his beautiful design. Don't you thank God that he was so willing to do such a wonderful thing that we could have that new world that we shall soon have? Anybody aware of that? We shall soon have a new world, redeemed, completely cleansed, absolutely purified, absolutely perfect. Righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, the Bible says. Hallelujah. And it all came right here out of this design and this great plan of my Heavenly Father. I'm trying to lay for you an understanding of what the Father has done and how it was all the Father's plan. And remember, Jesus said, no man can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Can you remember that verse? This commandment, this privilege have I, this is Jesus talking, received of my Father. My Father gave me this opportunity to willingly die. The Father didn't make me die. He gave me the privilege of dying for the redemption of the world and put it in my hands so I have the power to lay my life down. But I have the power to take it up again. Hallelujah. Death's here, but resurrection is coming. It's midnight, but the sun's about to shine again. It's a dark hour, but light is coming. Hallelujah. Could somebody rejoice with me? I'm here to tell you, my Father's plan was breathtakingly beautiful and breathtakingly wonderful. Now, you understand that the Father gave his Son. You understand that the Father willed that his Son would die as a sacrifice. The Father rejoiced in the death because not because the pain his Son was feeling, but because the result of what his Son was experiencing. The Father could look beyond Calvary, even as Jesus could look beyond Calvary, and they could see a world being redeemed. They could see the great day when the sun would shine again from one corner of this universe to the other corner. Hallelujah. When everything would be marvelous again. What a day that's going to be. Now, I got to stop a minute so that you can really understand this, because I want to show you that the devil has schemed to interrupt this plan from the very beginning of time, from the time he was cast out of heaven. The devil has had a plan. He has had one candidate after another to be his son. Nimrod was probably the first, at least recorded in the Bible, the first. And then one after the other, even old Nebuchadnezzar was planned by the devil to rule the world. And Daniel led him to faith in God, interrupted the devil's scheme. And even those leaders of the Persian Mede Empire, they were planned. But there were so many good Jewish leaders that worked under these great monarchs that they gave them the money and all the wealth to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. I mean, again, the devil's plan got interrupted. And if you'll study history, you'll see the devil's plan has been interrupted time after time after time. The devil wants a son. He wants a leader. He is trying his best to produce an antichrist, and he's never got quite there. Every time he gets interrupted. Old Alexander the Great was a great candidate, and he went to Babylon after conquering almost the whole world and died there at 30-some years of age. I've been in the very area where they say he died, and all of it was interruption of the devil's scheme, because there's been a Holy Ghost called the Restrainer, and he's been like a wall protecting all of God's schemes and God's plans, and everything that God has on his calendar, everything that God has in his divine, in his design book, it's all going to be fulfilled, because there's a Holy Spirit who's the restrainer, and he holds the devil at bay, and Satan cannot do anything until God the Father turns him loose for a little short period of time. Would somebody raise a hand and worship the great God Jehovah? Oh, Satan is an evil creature. Brother Jeff mentioned the Catholics. You study Catholicism, and you'll find that they had a scheme all the way back to about 300 A.D. or 400, somewhere in that that space of time. They began to develop the theology of post-millennialism. That they were going to set up a kingdom on the earth, and they would bring Jesus back to rule the kingdom after they ruled it 1,000 years. And they've labored intently for that, and the present Pope is one real, real worker on that scheme. I'm here to tell you, everything he says, everything he does, sounds like it come right out of the book of Revelation, chapter 13. You can see it everywhere he goes, everything he does, the whole thing. There's good possibility. There is at least great, great feelings among many Catholics that he's actually a sodomite. There's great feelings of that. I cannot answer to it, yay or nay. But I did go in on my computer and dug back through some history to see the Catholic movement and the Catholic popes as it had to do with sodomy. And you won't believe some of the things that you'll find in Catholic history. Some of the things you will discover as you go back and see how the plan has always been so foul. And such a failure, and there was no possibility that it could have been of God. And so over and over and over, and now you have the jihadists from the Islamic religion, and they are perfect examples of people that determined to set up a one world government and rule it with evil powers for the devil. But could I tell you something? The old devil is going to lose. He's going to lose. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. That's an old chorus we used to sing. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I've heard from heaven a little while ago. And Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I'm here to tell you, he's got one more time, one more chapter, one more opportunity. And everything happening in our world is getting ready for that last opportunity of the enemy. The mystery of iniquity is stretching its arm around this globe. Its tentacles have reached into the church world. Its tentacles have saturated the political world. Its tentacles have taken over the economic world, the educational world, the media world. I'm here to tell you, the mystery of iniquity has never been so dominant as it is right now. And the Holy Spirit is fixing to reach down here and grab you and I that are saints of God. And he's fixing to pick us up and take us out of here. And when he gets us out of here, the Holy Spirit is going to take down that wall of restraint and say, all right, Lucifer, prove your worth. Prove your ability. If you think you can, go for it. And the devil comes out of heaven, cast out of heaven, and he knows he has but a short time. Even he's got enough sense to know he don't have but a short time. Hallelujah. How much more ought you to have enough sense to know he don't have but a short time? Did you know that? Oh, yes. So we see the plan, and it's indeed beautiful. It's breathtaking. But now, let's get back to our text, because I want you to leave here this morning with a grasp of what the Father assigned to his Son. What the Father assigned to his Son. The position the Father gave his Son. Now let's go to verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So we see it's the Father talking. The language is the Son. He's telling us that his purpose now, his whole scheme now, his doings now is he is speaking to us, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. I'm here to tell you, what we read Jesus saying in this Bible is so full of excitement and joy. Anybody that would doubt that we're heading into the most triumphant period of human history does not understand who this Jesus is. And the Father, the Father's great wisdom, and the Father's great instruction, and the Father's great plan that he's put in the hands of his Son. The Father actually planned all of this, but the Father gave it to his Son to execute it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I love that. I love how the Father and the Son have been so perfect in this relationship. And this just feels the Bible. There's nothing strange about what I'm saying. It's not some kind of crazy false doctrine. I think we all know that. But we don't spend much time, and people have not spent much time with it. But in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir. Heir, H-E-I-R, to inherit all things. He's given his Son a name above all names, that his Son might be responsible to bring this great kingdom to pass, this great millennial period when this world will become a place of righteousness and holiness and purity. The Father has put this plan in his Son's hand. Did you know that? The Father has put this plan in his Son's hand. And you don't have to worry. Now, you say, why is the world so turned off to the name of Jesus today? Why do they want to talk about God in his many different heathen names and put them all together? Just leave Jesus out. Well, they don't understand. I'm sure of that. They don't know what they're doing. But the devil behind all of this knows what he's doing. And if there's anybody got to be reduced in this hour, it's got to be Jesus, because this plan is in his hand. The Father hath made him heir of all things. Isn't that wonderful? The whole kingdom, the whole spiritual plan, the whole scheme of eternity, the whole scheme of end time prophecy, everything that's got to happen, everything that's about to happen is in the hands of the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. The Father didn't even tell him when he's coming back. The Father kept that in his own power, and he will tell him at the right moment. That's what Jesus said. Nobody knows when I'm coming back but my Father only. This power he's retained unto himself. See, the Father, in this whole scheme of the Trinity, has the right to retain anything he desires from the other members of the triune Godhead. Though they are one with him, he alone, the Father, knows the moment of Christ's coming. Hallelujah. But the Son is in the stages of the preparation. He's in charge of all of the plans, and he's been given the heir of all things. Hallelujah. So that we know it's all going to be on track, and we then understand why the world hates Jesus so bad. Do you understand why they hate Jesus so bad? Brother Ken said to me this morning, he's got this words on the back of his vehicle that gets people's attention about the coming judgment of hell. And somebody tried to run him off the road last night. He literally had to go off the road because this car was determined to drive him in the ditch. And once they got him off the road, they put on a little show to let him know we did it and we're proud we did it. I want to tell you something. I see it all the time. This world just can hardly stand the name of Jesus. If there's anything those political leaders in Washington cannot stand, it's the name of Jesus. You cannot pray in a public building in America right now, if the right people are there to stop you, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus. I've had them to call me and ask me to come and pray at some special function, and I would say to them, but you do understand, I only pray in the name of Jesus. And they would always say to me, we have to withdraw the invitation if you cannot pray without praying in the name of Jesus. You see, the name of Jesus is mightily hated, because he has been made heir of all things. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, all their hatred is not going to slow up a thing on God's scheme. Do you understand? How many look at me can understand that nothing that's happening, none of this hatred, none of this resentment, none of this yearning to put him down, no effort on the part of anybody to eliminate the name of Jesus is going to succeed. That name is as fixed in the great scheme of God as the sun is set in his orbit. Holy God, hallelujah, what a day. So you do understand, in these last days, he's spoken to us by the Son, whom he's made the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. By whom also he made the world. Do you understand that? Understanding that expressed, what a picture. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, the Father, what a God we serve. Hallelujah. But he gave it to the Son to create the worlds. In the beginning, how many of you know John chapter 1, verse 1? You ought to memorize those first five verses. They are so breathtaking. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Did you get that? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he was the light of the world, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it, could not stop it, could not detain it. And that's still true today. I don't care how much darkness there is out there, the light of Jesus is going to shine on, brothers. Hallelujah. The light of Jesus is going to keep on penetrating. I get amazed at these people who try to reject Jesus and they still tremble in their wickedness. And they still tremble in their helplessness. And they still tremble. And many of them will eventually commit suicide because they can't put out the light of Jesus that keeps shining in their face and keeps awakening them in the middle. Well, hallelujah to God. It thrills me to know all of those people who try to eliminate Jesus. They're literally fighting and opposing an impossibility. It's impossible to put out his light. He's the light of the world. Did you hear me? How do you put out the light of the world? Somebody raise your hand and love on him a minute. He's the light of the world. You can't put out the light of the world. If you could put it out, the world would go black. The world would go completely in darkness. No. You can't put out this light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. You feel sorry for the Islamists. They have their choirs that go up in their little towers. And they, five times a day, say to the world, this is what I'm told. I don't know Arabic, so I could not hear it. I've heard it, but I couldn't interpret it. And they say, God has no son. God has no son. They fight that. They've been fighting that battle since Muhammad started this whole false religion. And they'll be fighting it until they are eliminated at the great battle of Gog and Magog. And they will never win because you can't put out the light of Jesus. That's an impossibility. Let the light so shine that men may see his life and his light and turn to him with grace. Who be in the brightness of the Father's glory. Brother Marlon, you may argue with me on this one, and I don't blame if you do. Because sometimes I tremble at things that I say and things that get a hold of me. But you know what? I believe when you see the Father, you will say, is that the Father or is that the Son? Because Jesus is the express image of the Father. What do you think about that, Brother Jeff? Tell me later, not now, okay? Hallelujah. Jesus is the express image of the Father. So when you see the Father, no man has ever seen the Father. There's nobody alive. Nobody can see the Father and live. The brightness of the Father is so grand and so marvelous that the human frame cannot endure one moment in the presence of that divine person and that divine light. But when we do see Him in our resurrected bodies, when we have our new body, when we are glorified like unto the Lord, we can have the same fellowship with Him His Son has now. Hallelujah. And we will know Him and He will know us. And oh, what a day that's going to be. He is absolutely the express image of the Father. The brightness of His glory. The brightness of His glory. You remember when Jesus was praying in the book of St. John chapter 17. The Bible says that in Jesus' prayer, He says, Father, give me back the glory which I had in you or with you before or from the foundation of the world. Or before the foundation of the world, I believe it says. You know, give me back that glory. Now, what is He saying? The only way Jesus could come down here and walk among us was His glory had to be hid from us. There had to be a veil, if you please. I don't know exactly how to describe this. It's kind of bigger than my head. But somehow, Jesus' glory had to be hidden from us. Had to be hidden from us. Because you could not have stood it. You could, I mean, when people would see Him, I never forget. I love the story of this policeman whom the authorities sent to take Him. I mean, I'm amazed that those bunch of hierarchy, I mean, these are the big boys. These are the big guys in the Jewish realm. And they send one soldier to go over there and get Jesus. I guess they thought maybe He would not resist one soldier. I don't know what they had in mind. And he goes over there to arrest Jesus. And Jesus is up preaching. And he's overwhelmed. I mean, he must have stood there. This is just 1 Chambers 3 and 1. So this is not in the Bible. But he must have stood over there and just trembled and shook. And what in the world? Who is that? What is he scared of? What has frightened him so bad? And he's standing there and he's listening to Jesus. And finally, he just turns around. And I suppose he ran back to the authority. And I said, why did you not take him? He says, never a man spoke. Never a man spake like this man. I mean, he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. Now, he was hid from the glory which he really represents. He had laid that aside. That had been put on the altar of heaven before he left up there to come down here. He was willing to do this that he could walk among us. He couldn't have even walked among us had the Father not shielded that glory. And now Jesus says, give me back that glory which I had with thee before the worlds began. Now you go over to the book of Revelation chapter 1 and you look at old John as he begins to see Jesus. And the Bible says he's down on his face. He has to be picked up. And I'm here to tell you, if you would see Jesus in His glory this morning, you would have to be picked up. If you could even live a moment in that glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Satria. Woo, somebody help me preach this morning. What a day that's going to be. And the Father exalted Him and gave Him back that glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody here know Him whose name is Jesus? Has He saved you? Has He made a new life for you? Has He made a saint out of you? I like that. It takes the Catholic Church, what, 800 years to make a saint? And it takes Jesus 1 second to make a saint. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Oh, that's rich. That's rich. That's sweet. That's wonderful. Hey, folks, we've got Him. We're His special folks. We're His saints. Are we more special? No, we're no more special than nobody else of His saints. God's got saints everywhere. You would be so. You wait till you get to heaven and you look around and you'll say, man, I didn't expect that one to be here. I didn't think that one would be here. But the only people going to be there are saints. If you haven't been washed in the blood, made holy and pure, oh, what a Savior, what a blessed Savior. I'll try to be a little more still up there. They get all over me running around up here. In fact, I see me, and I completely leave their view. I mean, I'm saying, where am I at? Look, where am I at? All right, guys, help me. Hallelujah. Isn't God good to us? Anybody know He's good to you? Well, I love that. Who being the brightness of His glory. Oh, when you see Him. You will never want to leave his presence. When you see him, you will have entered into the grandest glory of humankind. Hallelujah. He's in charge. He's moving this program forward. Do you understand? The express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now you got to get that one. Hold your Bible up, Brother Marlon. Hold it up high. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Are you hearing me? Jesus Christ right now is upholding everything by the word of his power. Hallelujah. Anybody that will put their faith in this book can no more be defeated. It's impossible. You will rise above every hard, tough place you go through. You will rise above every storm that you face. You will rise above every hindrance of the devil. I don't care what Lucifer tries to do to you, as long as you live in that book. Upholding all things. I got to have it by the word of his power. I love it. I love it. Hallelujah. No wonder we love the Bible, Brother Allen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love this holy book because everything is upheld by the word of this power. Hallelujah. And see, if we would get this to the mind of people, the Bible is not just another book out of secular literature. The Bible is a miraculous, supernatural book. Not a word, not a cross of a T, not a dot of an I can ever be forgotten. Jesus said that in Matthew 5. He said, not a jot of tittle shall pass away till everything is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Heaven is watching over that word because it's the word of his power. Woo! Hallelujah. What a God we serve, church. What a God. I tell you, I like Christmas, don't you? It's the face of my Father, Brother Mark. The face of my Father. God revealing in Christ everything that heaven represents. God manifesting to us all the things of our future. God keeping everything in tow. God keeping everything on the right path. Oh, Brother Chambers, do you know what Barack Obama has done to America? Barack Obama has not done nothing to America that God didn't allow because of our sins and our foolishness and our forsaking of the ways of the Lord. We're just reaping what we've been sowing in killing unborn babies. We've been reaping what we've been sowing and allowing them to take prayer out of our schools and out of our public places. I'll tell you right now, they won't keep it from me. I'll walk right into their public place and quote the word of God and speak the truth of God. I will not be intimidated by them. Hallelujah. Because I know who wins. I know who's going to win. I know who's going to. Does anybody here know who's going to win? Hallelujah. Just raise your hand, worship a little bit, will you? Father, we love you. We love you. Christmas, the face of my Father. Christmas, the face of my Father. The business of my Father. The great plan of my Father. What a plan and how beautiful and how near it is to his final moments. Hopiclion syndrome. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. Who be in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, purged our sins. It's Lord, would you raise your hand and just worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lily of the Valley, the bright morning star, the Rose of Sharon, the first, the last, which is, which was, which is to come, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah. He's all of it. He's all of it and much, much more. He's all of it and much, much more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I love it. When he had purged our sins. Hallelujah. He didn't come to cover our sins. He came to purge our sins. Boy, that takes care of these people with sin and religion, don't it? That takes care of these people with cheap grace. Oh, yes, I'm saved, but I'm still living in sin. I'm still bound by all these old habits and all this old dark stuff. No, not if you've been purged by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I like that. Make a saint in a second. A saint in a second. Well, let's say a half a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. I got to go on. I'm about to preach too long. Listen to me now. Listen to me very carefully. When he had finished purging our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Father, the majesty. The majesty. I love that word. I preached on it a few weeks ago. The majesty on high. That's the Father. Oh, he's the one who planned this whole beautiful thing. I mean, he did. Gave it to his son. His son was absolutely doing exactly. If you'll go read the book of John, where it talks so much about Jesus and the Father, you'll find where he said, I say nothing of myself. But whatsoever I say, I've been told of the Father to say it. My words are not my words. They're the words of him that sent me. You remember reading that? Over and over, Jesus gives the glory to the Father and makes it plain. All of this is the Father's plan. All of this is the Father's wonderful, wonderful, grand program to get this thing cleaned up down here and to straighten it out. And you can see, understand, as I preach this morning, why this world is just ferocious against Jesus. God, give me God. But don't give me Jesus, they say. Well, I want to tell you something. A God without a Jesus is not the real God. Did you hear what I said? The God without a Jesus, a God without a son, a God without his son is not the real God. He's an imposter. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's nothing. I mean, these preachers that are saying that we can blend together Christianity and Islam. They're called Chrislam. Have you heard of the Chrislam religion? That's the Jesus people mixed with the Islam people. Do you know what that is? That's as dark of a lie as the devil has ever fostered on the human family. He's got to destroy Jesus. Why has the devil got to destroy Jesus? Because he can't present an imitation of him unless you reduce him to that of an utter disappointment, disaster. They've got to make Jesus a disaster before they can present an antichrist that even has the semblance of likeness. Do you get my message now? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm telling you that before the antichrist can bring before the devil can bring his antichrist, you don't understand this, and I don't understand this, but sometime immediately after the rapture, there will be this grand worldwide ceremony. It will be as similar to the time when Jesus was born with angels singing on the hillside and the wise men coming from afar and all the things that made up the coming of Christ. The devil is going to do his best to imitate the celebration of the birth of Christ with the coming of his Antichrist. And there will be a worldwide scheme. It'll be on every television. It will be on all of the internet. Everything else will be shut down. And it will be the hour of this great celebration. And the devil is going to introduce his son, to imitate the Father's son. Read it in Revelation chapter 13. He comes up out of the sea. The devil gives him his great power, and the world wonders after him, and the world begins to hurl his greatness, and it's going to be a scheme. It's going to be a celebration. It's going to be breathtaking, but it can't transpire until I'm gone. Sorry, devil. Plan your plans and scheme your schemes, but hold everything until the saints are out of here. Hallelujah. Do you now understand why the world hates the rapture? See, this is why they hate the rapture. Any doctrine that eliminates the rapture is rooted in false theology. You got to hear that. Any doctrine, any scheme of religion, the Calvinists, now the Lutherans, much of the charismatic world. I mean, you just go all over religious worlds, and any time they have removed the cross. Someone asked me this morning about the book The Harbinger. Did I say that right? The Harbinger? Where are you at? Harbinger? That's what you asked me, wasn't it? Harbinger. I wasn't saying it quite right. I knew it wasn't. Harbinger. That book was written by a Jewish man. who's in big time allegiance with Jim Baker, with the whole crowd of charismatic folks who are into post-millennialism. They call it kingdom theology or dominion theology, taking possession of the earth. And that book is full of that. It's a scheme of taking over America, getting ready for a millennial reign. Now, you don't say it in these exact terms, but we've been through it. Numbers of us in the pre-trib group have been through it. We're all just as confident as we can be that what we're saying is absolutely right. I know what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and I don't doubt him, but I never go by that. I go by what's in the Bible, you know. You don't use your inspiration of the Holy Ghost to prove things. You use the Bible to prove things. You understand that? It never varies. That's exactly right. That's why, but you don't need to use the Holy Ghost. You use the Bible, and then you get your inspiration from the Holy Ghost. We understand. We agree. I'm going to tell you something, church. We're on the verge of the greatest hour of human history. This Christmas season will probably be the last that most of us will celebrate on this earth, except for those who missed the rapture. Let me see the hands of those who plan to miss the rapture. Oh, nobody. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to plan to miss it. If you don't plan to go, you're automatically planning to miss it. He's coming. Would you bow your heads? Oh, I have so much more I want to read. I wanted to read the book of Psalms, Division 2. You can read it when you get home. It talks about Jesus absolutely continuing. Oh, just bow your head a minute. Let me just read a word or two of it. I got to do that. Oh, it's so wonderful. Wonderful. Why do the heathen rage? Just open your, just look back this way. Just take a moment. Let me take a minute. Psalms Division 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Don't you understand that this political heathen world, Democrat Party, President Obama, the Rick Warrens and the Rick Joyners, Benny Hinn's, the whole TBN crowd. Do you understand? Do you listen? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. That's the Father and the Son. The Son is his anointed. Say it. Saying, listen now, let us break their band asunder and cast away their cord from us. And I close with this verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Read on, if you would, this afternoon. But I want to tell you something. Let those heathens rage. Let them scream and hate the Christ, the Savior of the world. Let them do everything in their power, but they are going to fail, because he will reign until all the enemies are put under his feet. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please, in the name of the Lord? It's a joy to preach to you on this Christmas Sunday morning. Just a moment, Brother Dylan is going to go with the youth. They're going to get our bags to bring them out. We don't want anybody who attends this church to miss getting one. If I have to, I'll call tomorrow and get those who couldn't be here to get theirs. I want them to have theirs. But you can take one to somebody that you know that attends regularly or is a new visitor that's coming, because we want everybody to feel like we love them. Now, before we do that, church, I want to tell you something. Christmas is the face of my Father. How many understand what I preached this morning? Christmas is the face of my Father. Oh, let's just love on him a minute. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Toka tapuris. Hear me, saith the Lord. My son, I gave him for you. He willingly became subject to all my plan. And the day of triumph is very near. You must understand that you are in the foyer, awaiting the great explosion of glory. So prepare your hearts. Give all that you are. Walk in the light of my word and live tender before me, saith the Lord. For I'm coming for mine, my own, before the evil one is turned loose in his fury. My children, my saints, will be gone, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you raise our hand now and just love on him? Just love on him. Just love on him. What a God we serve. We're so close to that moment. We're so close. Never have we seen people so careless with their lives. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to be in the presence of a Holy Ghost preacher. No, no, they can hardly stand it. Oh, but it's going to be too late so soon. I know your heart grieves like mine to think of my own children, my own loved ones. I can hardly believe that we live in such an hour. But it's here. The only people going in that rapture are the saints. I'm here to tell you, washed in the blood, living in the sanctifying grace of the Son, doing his will with all their heart. What an hour. What an hour, Mother. Hallelujah. I'm going. I know you're going. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just love on him a little bit, will you? Love on him. Love on him. Love on him. He's